B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll. Who you got?
Hey, it's the Over Under Podcast. We're back for another conference. It's the American Conference, as they like to call it. Or whatever they call it, the AAC.
The American Athletic Conference.
The AAC Conference. Cincinnati's dominated the last few years. Of course, we know the likes of Houston. UCF has had a good run, and there people are high on them with Gus Malzahn. Then there's those middling teams, the SMUs of the world, the Memphis, the Tulsa, East Carolina, Tulane, Navy, and of course South Florida and Temple. And I say of course because they suck. So this conference betting wise, Dan, scary. Always scary. You might think UCF has a team and then they blow it on national TV. You know, you want to fade Houston, but then they end up winning and beating West Virginia in a big game. And then like Cincinnati, you think they're going to fall to somebody, they go to the championship game and they suck, and which was expected. So, but there are surprises. East Carolina, Memphis has had good years. And then South Florida, some nights can be terrible and then beat you and surprise you. So overall, betting this conference to me is not good when they play teams out. It's not good to bet them outside of their conference, is I guess what I'm saying. But Cincinnati seems to be the big favorite again, even though they lost Desmond Ridder.
Yep, they bring in, we'll talk about that, they bring in a familiar quarterback. Remember a team that that beat Notre Dame and Indiana on the road. In back-to-back games, they did have a buy-in between, but like back-to-back games there, they won in Bloomington and South Bend, and they were good in those games and lost to Alabama. I mean, 13-1 overall last year. Good, can't complain about what Cincinnati did last year. You ready to dive into them?
Let's do it. We should probably just set it up that like I was high on them all year. Like I faded them once they got to the playoff, and I think they got it right, so I'm not one of these guys who thinks they shouldn't have been there, but I am one of those guys that when they got there, I went, oof, right? So, but they had a lot of talent, if you really look at it. Desmond Ridder, Sauce Gardner, Myjai Sanders was a really good player, Kobe Bryant, another guy. They had a ton of talent. They lost all those guys, and I saw their first game, woof. And I just, to me, this just seems like a significant step back for this team. And I know you mentioned the quarterback, but just off the bat, dude, I think what they have, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys go to play in the pros. That's a tough, tough, tough rebuild, in my opinion. But they've dominated the conference.
I think they had 9 guys get drafted, Joe, last wow. year. Yeah, 9 players. They lost Jerome Ford, transfer. Wide receiver Alec Pierce got drafted. Obviously, talking about the quarterback position, Desmond Ridder got drafted. You know, so this is a team that's going to have to replace a lot, but they're still bringing in, I think, a pretty good amount of talent. They're going to return, I believe, all 5 of their offensive linemen. So it's not going to be a massive drop off, but look, they lose Sauce Gardner. That's going to be huge. They lose their defensive end Sanders last year. I think they're going to drop off significantly defensively, but I think offensively they should be okay. They'll be okay. But we can see them giving the defense could drop off quite a bit. Let's talk about them. Luke Fickell's 6th season in Cincinnati. Last year, they made it to the playoffs, lost to Alabama 13-1 overall. That obviously means a 9-0 conference record and won the conference last year, 9-1 2020, 11-3 in 2019, 11-2 in 2018, 4-8 in 2017. Fickell has turned this program around and turned it in really into an amazing program. 7-0, 7-1, 6-2, 2-6 in conference. They've been extremely talented. The win total this year at DraftKings, DraftKings presenter of all of our win totals on the Over-Under 95, on the Over-Under 985 podcast, is 9 this year, over minus 140, under plus 120. And the one thing about Fickell, during his time, he has been very consistent with his recruiting rankings. 45th last year, 41st during COVID, 66, a little bit of drop on 2019, but 49th in 2018. They are consistently good in the rankings. They also are consistently good in the transfer portal. 40th overall this year, 7 commitments, which is fantastic for them, obviously, bringing back a bunch of dudes. We'll get, obviously, into the TARP ratings in a little bit, but I can tell you that their TARP is probably going to be slight loss. Defensively, minus 5 TARP, a 3 offensive TARP. And that's going to be because they bring in Ben Bryant from Eastern Michigan, who actually originally was in Cincinnati, transferred to Eastern Michigan. They brought him back, so he's going to be there. They bring back 8 offensive starters, 5 defensive starters. The strength of schedule this year, going to be something, 86. So not too hard, not too easy. They bring back the 92nd overall returning production, 59% of their total production, 68% of their offense. We talked about all 5 offensive linemen. That's 62nd in the country. Defense, though, just 51% of their production, 115th overall. And this is where I think the drop-off is going to be. I think they are going to struggle a little bit this year, just this year, in terms of defensively, just a drop-off. Okay, I don't think they're going to be terrible. I don't think they're going to be bad. I just think there's going to be a drop-off. Let's open up week one on the schedule, Joe Murray. And it's at Arkansas, okay? At Arkansas. I have already PP'd this game. I already said I like Arkansas in this one. I think when you have a new quarterback, a ton of new players on defense, a bunch of new players coming in, a lot of moving parts, going on the road to a team like Arkansas, who is bringing back a lot of their players, very consistent, same quarterback. I just think that's a lot to ask for the Cincinnati team week one with a big drop off of the quarterback position. As much as good as I think Ben Bryant will be, I have it as a loss. Joe, what are your thoughts?
Loss, and if it was last year's team, I'd favor Cincinnati. It's just hard. SEC school, like this will be a competitive game, I think, definitely. But yeah. I'm just going to go Arkansas's on the rise. Great. Two really good coaches in this one. So this is a bigger game for Arkansas, I think, just to kind of like set their season. But if Cincinnati wins this game, dude, this is the tone of their season. Like,
I agree.
You know, it's like some teams just lose that first game and it's like, they went like 10-2 and they weren't really impressive, you know? Arkansas, if they win this game, it's going to set them up nicely. But if Cincinnati wins, I think they're going to be the favorite.
Huge game for Cincinnati's win total this year. You'll understand why in a few minutes here. Second week, they feed their home versus Kennesaw State. As good as Kennesaw State was a couple years ago, that's a win. They then play Miami, Ohio on a neutral field week 3. We've already given that win to Cincinnati. I have no qualms about that one. I believe that they will beat them. After that, they are taking on Indiana. And Indiana should be better this year. But this game is in Cincinnati. I'm going to give it to Cincinnati, Joe Murray. I think they start off 3-1.
I do too. Last year, Indiana had the lead member, and then Cincinnati came back and won. So I think they have them scouted well enough to win that game. But Tulsa on the road is not going to be easy.
No, it's not, but Tulsa loses a lot of their production and just 110th overall, bring back 56%. Davis Britton is back for them, but, man, I just don't know if this is the same Tulsa team, and I don't know what they're going to be defensively. I think this is going to be a win for Cincinnati, but I think this one is a losable game. Is that a fair thing to say? It's a losable game, but I think that's a win. The next week they're hosting USF. Now, South Florida brings in Jerry Bohannon from Baylor. This South Florida team is going to be better. They just are. They bring back the 5th most returning production in the country, 10 offensive starters, 9 defensive starters. Jerry Bohannon, they're number 31 in the transfer portal. Jeff Scott is doing everything he can to save his job because he was bad. He has been bad the last 2 years. I think this is going to be a game. I think South Florida will give them a game. I still think this is going to be Cincinnati. They're still too talented. But, man, it's going to be a game. After that, they have a bye. We then move on to, this is the part of the schedule I think is brutal. At SMU and at UCF, and I think that they'll split these. I think it's a reasonable calculation. SMU brings back the 20th most production in the country, 79%, and their quarterback Tanner Mordecai. But Rhett Lashley, first season of coaching. UCF brings back the 19th most production in the country, 79%. And they also bring, they obviously lose Dylan Gabriel, but they bring in John Reese Plumlee from Ole Miss with Gus Malzahn on there. So I think that, to me, this is going to be extremely, extremely difficult. Now, in the bounce house in UCF, I'm sorry, I love Cincinnati. I just can't do it. I can't give them a win in that game. They crush since they absolutely crushed UCF last year. I just think that this is going to be a revenge spot for UCF. Gus Malzahn has his one circled. I can't do it. I can't get out of the win there. I think that's too difficult a spot.
I'll give it a split because of the back-to-back road games.
Okay.
And not for nothing, Navy's on deck too, which is they're just not a pleasant team to play.
Well, no, they're not. And the other thing about that UCF game, Joe, is that they're up. You know, UCF is coming off ECU. It's not like a major opponent or a major look at. SMU is coming off Navy, so I think that's a tougher spot for SMU. So I'm gonna give Cincy the win against SMU and the loss versus UCF. And you just talked about it. Then they face Navy, triple option team. Kenny Amatalolo, this team should be better this year. They just don't bring back anyone. But this is later in the season. Things should have, you know, they should have been able to figure things out by now. This is going to be a really close game. It's in Cincinnati. I'm going to give Cincinnati the win there. Home versus ECU. I think this is a game that people need to watch very carefully, okay? East Carolina brings back Holton Allers again. They have a very, very good record. They're finally starting to get better and starting to play Mike Houston-type ball. 7 offensive starters, 8 defensive starters. Their defense was ranked well last year. They're bringing back the 39th most production in the country. I think there is a possibility, Joe, that ECU goes into Cincinnati and beats this Cincinnati team. I just think that as good as Cincinnati is, I don't know how great they're going to be. I think there's going to be some spots here. I'm going to give this game to Cincinnati, but I don't feel good about it. They finish up at Temple, which is a win. That Temple team is still absolutely brutal. And then home versus Tulane. Tulane brings back the 29th most production in the country. They bring back 9 offensive starters and 89% of their offense. So Tulane could very much score in this team. I'm going to give it to Cincy. I have them at 10-2, Joe. I got to be honest with you. I think that they end up at 9-3. I look at this and say, well, Arkansas is a tough game on the road. Tulsa is a tough game on the road. SMU is a tough game on the road. UCF is a tough game on the road. And I think that maybe an ECU game back-to-back, honestly, they could lose any of those games. The triple option game is not going to be easy after back-to-back roadies coming off the bounce house. ECU off the triple option game. I just don't love the way the schedule breaks for them. I think Cincinnati is going to have 9 wins. It's not a number I'm looking to bet. I actually lean, to be honest with you, slightly under 9. I think there's multiple areas where they can get caught in the schedule, and it would not shock me if they lost both the SMU and UCF games this year. That's Mac Roadies. It's a very tough situation for them, but they have a bye going in at SMU, and that's the only reason they're giving them a win there.
I have them at 10-3, but 10-2, but I think they can go 11-1 if they can beat Arkansas.
I think they can also be 8-4.
So that's the flip side. Like, you know, this conference, I'm telling you, there's just weird. Tulane at the end of the year, it should be a win, but you just never know. You know what I mean? There's just, and they usually take care of business at the end of the year. They have. So, but I just smell a hiccup somewhere. Like a real hiccup. Like, no, I'm not saying lose to UCF, right? Or, but I see a hiccup.
That's what I'm saying.
Where it could happen.
Navy or ECU. I think Tulsa is going to be too inexperienced. But, like, look, they lose maybe the best quarterback in the program of all time. Their top running back from last year in Ford. their top wide receiver, their two top linebackers, and their number one and two tacklers, their top corner, who was number four overall pick. I mean, they lost a lot, and yeah, they do bring in some good players. Like they got the Mac defense, the Mac player of the year on defense, and a 1,000-yard wide receiver in from Hawaii. I'm trying to remember his effing name. I can't remember who it is, but I remember. I know the kid. If you said it, I would know it. But anyways, who is it? Nick Martin. I think it's Nick Martiner. I think it's at the top of my head. Whatever. Either way, this team is going to be good. But I can see, especially defensively, a real drop off here. I think this is going to be one of those like kind of like in between seasons for Luke Fickell. All my buddies who I talk to absolutely love the Cincinnati over. Kobe Dan, who I really respect his work on the the Sports Gambling Podcast. He also or the College Experience, excuse me. He loves Cincinnati over. I hate it. I know I'm putting that 10-2 right now. I just don't know where their loss is going to come from. This is a hard pass one under to me, and I probably wouldn't play the under.
Yeah, I think it either lands at 9 as a push, or this is a team that will. I'm curious how massive the step back is, but I think it will be a step back.
I don't think it's going to be massive. I just think that they're going to be a step back. Like I don't think it will be massive. Like, you know, I don't think they're going to completely drop out of being competitive or not be in the chase for the American. Like, that's not how I kind of put my point across. I just think they're just not going to be nearly as good as last year. They lost a ton of talent, a lot of explosive talent, a lot of elite talent. They might just not be as good. So, all right, let's move on to ECU, Joe Murray. Mike Houston in his fourth season here. What do you have on ECU this year?
So ECU won 7 games last year, but if you really remember their schedule, like they were covering machines. I think they were one of the best teams in the country at covering games. But 4 of the team's 5 losses last year, South Carolina, Appalachian State, decided by 1 score. But they get most of their squad back. You mentioned Holden Ahlers, who is a football player, right? Like, people say quarterback. He's a football player.
SEC recruited quarterback. They tried to get him to transfer. A lot of programs have.
Yeah, exactly. So they're going to get their running back. They averaged 30 points a game last year, and I think that should be consistent. But their defense, I mean, it was better, right? 26 a game. The year before was 35. So they're seeing you get better. I still have them middle of the pack in this conference. Like, I have SMU higher than them, but between them, SMU, and Memphis, I feel like they could leap them because of the returning. But what freaks me out about them in particular, though, is their schedule. It's just the schedule. It's nothing else. I think they are going to be a good team who covers again and all that. But they don't take on UCF, but they get Cincinnati. At Cincinnati, they got to go to BYU and to Tulane. But, you know, the second half of their schedule, that's the biggest issue for me. So I see them, and we'll look up the score. Where their win total is, I think it's dead on. But they could make a case for an 8-4 season.
Just okay, let's – schedule. Let's get into it. Last year, 7-5, 5-3 in conference. Mike Houston finally got that jump in production from the guys he was looking for. Year before that, 3-6, 4-8, 3-9, 3-9. So again, just a lot of mediocre records. But they were 3-5 in 2020 in COVID in conference. So a little jump from 1-7 and 1-7 in 2018, 2019, 2-6 in 2017. You can see they're incrementally taking jumps recruiting wise. Very inconsistent. 98th last year, 74th, 79th 2 years before that, 88th year before that. They got 14 new recruits in the transfer portal. Number 58 overall. And you mentioned Joe Murray, very tough schedule. Number 59 starting the schedule in the country this year. But there are returning 7 offensive starters, 8 defensive starters, and the 45th overall production, 72% of their production's back, 69% of their offense, 57th in the country, and 74% of the defense, which is 39th in the country. Holden Ahlers is back. The big lefty quarterback is back. Everyone is a big, big fan of kind of what they're bringing back in terms of the TARP ratings. And so understand, how they're doing the TARP. They actually gained a net of 6 offensive TARP in the TARP ratings lost zero, so 6 points gained. I think a very good year for ECU in the transfer portal. I think they're going to be better offensively. I think, and again, let's also not forget, this is a team, Joe, that lost in back-to-back weeks at in Orlando at the Bounce House by four, and then at Houston in overtime by seven. So this is a team that was really, again, you know, 11 points away from being a 9-3 team and looking at maybe as maybe one of the class of the AAC. So I expect this team to take a big jump forward. That's my expectation of ECU, is that they're going to take a pretty big jump forward. And I think that they're the schedule is going to be tough. I don't think that's necessarily awful for them. Let's get into it here. Week one, they are hosting NC State, and talk about a battle right off the bat, Joe. What are your thoughts on this one? I think this is going to be a fantastic game. A lot of people really high on this NC State team. What are your thoughts here?
I think NC State wins, but the ACC, right? There's a lot in there. Got to go on the road week one. East, you know, a lot of this is a really good spot for East Carolina. I think it's a loss.
They're a 10-point dog week one. I think personally that's too many points. I like NC State as much as the next guy, but man, that seems like a lot of points to be giving a team that's probably going to be improved. I'm going to give them a loss, but I feel like this is a winnable game week one. It is. They're getting NC State with the entire summer of prep. I think it's a winnable game. Truly do. Week two, they're home versus Old Dominion. We gave them that win, Joe Murray. I feel confident about that as well. I think this ECU team is going to be better. Week three, they're taking on FCS Campbell. I think that's going to be a win. Another game against a team that's not too hard. Now they start their conference schedule here, and this is home versus Navy week four. And this is off the Campbell game, so I think they're going to have a little bit more time. They probably won't have to prep for Campbell nearly as much. And so because of that, I think they're actually going to be okay with Navy here. As much as I do like Navy this year, I think this is a win for ECU. They beat them last year 38-35 in Annapolis, and I think this is a spot where they beat them again. And last year they were coming off a road win at Memphis. So, man, I mean, I think they'll be able to have a little bit more prep this year. This is an interesting game to me, Joe. Week five in South Florida, in Tampa. This is a game I am sneaky scared of, and I think ECU is really good. But I think they're going to lose one of these back-to-back games here, whether it's South Florida, whether it's Tulane. And I think South Florida is going to be much improved this year. Good quarterback. A lot of talent came in, returned the fifth most production. I just think that there's a lot to ask there. I think both these games are real toss-ups. I really, really do. I'm going to give them the 1-1 split. I'm going to say they lose to South Florida because I think South Florida is going to be better. I think they beat Tulane, Joe Murray. I think that these two games are really toss-ups in my mind. Toss-ups.
I have them as wins.
I think you're a little low on South Florida.
Yeah,
I think you're low on South Florida.
Yeah, I know what they're doing. I mean, I just out of that gate though, I got 1, 2, 3, 4. I got them 5-1, but this is where the schedule gets difficult.
I have them 4-2. Again, they're facing a triple option team and going on the road for back to back road games and tough places after that. I don't know. This is when the schedule gets brutal. Home versus Memphis. I'm going to give them a win here. I'm down on Memphis this year.
I have them ahead of Memphis too, but I think they can leapfrog SMU and Memphis finally.
Yeah, I'm down on Memphis this year, to kind of give you an idea. I'm down on this team this year. I'm not sure how much I believe in Ryan Silverfield in that program. And I think, again, in East Carolina, you know, I think in Greenville, like, this is going to be a tough place to play. So I think that's a good win. UCF here, man. Whew.
The only thing is it's at home. Like, I think UCF, if we're just on paper looking at it, UCF wins. I'm going to give them a loss. But this is something I'm circling this game because I think UCF struggles on the road. And that could be a team that they struggle against.
They do. And let's also not forget, this is the game before Cincinnati as well. So this is
you mean for UCF? Yes.
Yes. For UCF. And again, UCF last year, and I'll see if I can, I'll see where, how they're defining here, but UCF was 1-4 on the road last year.
There you go. Gus Malzahn. It's like a thing with him, man. It's a thing.
All four losses on the road. I think this is a very winnable game.
I'll give them a loss right now, but
I will too.
I'm circling that one.
Yep, I agree. At BYU the week afterwards, look, I love this. I like UCOMI on them. There's a loss.
You don't win at Provo.
Yeah, they're extremely tough. Then they're at Cincinnati, and I really think this could be a win here. They're coming off a bye. Cincinnati is coming off Navy and coming off the back-to-back roadies, and really the most brutal part of their schedule is those four games right there. I think eventually Cincy gets caught. They might even go 2-2 there. I think this is a definite possible win. I'm going to give it a loss, but I think it's a possible win there. The next week, they're home against Houston.
No.
And Houston is coming off a Temple game, which is not going to be tough for them. I'm telling you right now, Joe, I think you are high on Houston. You're higher than I am. Again, let's go back and look what Houston did on the road last year. They were 6-1. They were really, really good on the road. Can they have a repeat performance of that with Dana Holgorsen? I'm going to give Houston the win. I don't feel great about it. I do not.
Yeah, my only thing is I just feel like Houston's going to have, you know, I just think they're going to be right in that, you know, conversation for the for the championship, and I don't think they're going to let, you know, Temple or East Carolina get in their way. You know,
okay. Well, last week they're at Temple. I have that as a win. I think Temple's going to be shit. So right now, ECU, ODU, Campbell, Navy, Tulane, Memphis, and Temple. That's 6 wins. Their over is over under is 6.5. I think they're going to get a 7th. I don't know where it is. But I think that this team, who lost 2 very close games to their biggest competition last year, is going to step up and start winning some of these games. I lean over on this ECU team. I'm not going to PP it, but I lean over. I think they're getting 7 wins. I think they're repeating at least last year. Wouldn't shock me if this team is 8-4 either. Wouldn't shock me if they upset NC State week 1. Wouldn't shock me if they found a way to beat USF on the road. Wouldn't shock me if they beat UCF, Cincy, or Houston in any of those 3 games. I think this is a team that's going to be in the conversation near the end of the year. So,
yeah, I think I have them at 7-5, but again, I think they could go 8-4 on a really good year. I'm high on them. I'm not going to bet this one, but I have them at 7-5, right behind Houston.
Okay. Let's move on to that Houston team and Dana Holgorsen. Joe Murray, what are your thoughts on this Houston Cougars team?
So last year they were moneymakers for me because I couldn't believe them. Like every week I'd be like, are they really putting up 35? Dude, there was a game I bet them where they scored, I think 38 points in the, or 41 points in the first half. And the game was over. Like, they averaged 36 points a game. They bring back Clayton Tune, who I like. I didn't like him a while back. But they do have their star receiver, Nathaniel Dell. Like, this guy's legit. So all their skill players are there. They get a USC transfer that's going to help them out. Now, their line allowed 38 sacks last year, but were very, very good. Their defense, that's the question. They gave up 32 points a game in 2020, but they bounced back last year. They had 43 sacks. Their defense is still going to be the issue. But they don't have – I believe they don't play Cincinnati or UCF, Dan.
That's correct. And
that's why I'm high on them.
Okay, let's get into them. So as I mentioned, Dana Holgorsen's 4th year with Houston. Again, really the first year he's had tremendous success. 4-8 in 2019. Well, let's go down the last few years. 7-5 in 2017, 8-5 in 2018. Holgorsen takes over 4-8, 3-5, 12-2 last year, including an 8-1 conference record, 3-3 during COVID, 2-6 in 19, 5-3 and 5-3 in 2018, 2017. The win total this year, Joe Murray, is 9, over minus 120, under even money. The recruiting rankings have been extremely consistent. A little drop off last year, 85th, before that, 72nd, 73rd, 23rd. So you know they're kind of right in that range. The transfer portal, another good thing for this Houston team. 44th in the country this year. 11 commitments. And let's look at that TARP rating this year. Gained 3.5 points, 4.5 points offensively, -1 defensively, but still a nice 3.5 point gain in that that transfer portal. Strength schedule is going to be nice to them, Joe. You mentioned obviously missing Cincy and UCF, 102nd in strength of schedule this year. They returned 7 offensive starters, including quarterback Clayton Tune, and 6 defensive starters as well, which is going to be, you know, honestly, in my opinion, extremely helpful. They, taking a look at their production, they returned the 35th overall most production, 74%. Okay, which is, I mean, really, that's huge. That's absolutely huge. So they return a ton, 72% of their offense, which is 47th in the country, 76% of their defense, 32nd in the country. So they're returning quite a few players. They will, Joe, their running back McCaskill, who was fantastic, all McCaskill last year, tore his ACL. He's likely out for the year. So even though technically he is a returner, he is not playing. So they're going to have to find some more production from the running back spot there. The defense last year, Joe, was not fantastic. You know, they still gave up 300 – sorry, was fantastic, excuse me. They gave up only 20.5 points per game last year, 45 sacks. I mean, really, they lose a bunch. They lose a couple corners, but they bring back 10 of the top 12 tacklers. They should still be very, very good next year, Joe Murray. Let's kind of look at – let's kind of get into this Houston schedule. Week one, they are on the road.
They'll be tested, but I think they win.
Houston winning that game. Yep, we do. And I agree. Week one at UTSA. Week two at Texas Tech. So this is a different animal to me. I disagree. They're not going on the road and beating UTSA and Texas Tech in back-to-back weeks here. They're again, good team, but they're still going to be dropping some. They, again, last year, just to give you an idea, Joe Murray, they won a ton of close games. 3 close wins and barely escaped in overtime 3 times. That is going to catch up to them. They're not going to match 12 wins next year. It just feels very, very unlikely that they're going to be that team. I'm going to give them a 1-1 split. Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe they're better than I'm giving them credit for. I think it's a 1-1 split for Houston there. I'm going 1-1. Week 3, Kansas. I think we both agree, Joe, that that's a win. And in week 4, Rice, we've already given the win. So I have Houston starting 3-1. I assume you have Houston starting 4 now.
Yes, I have okay. Houston 4-0 right off.
Okay. Week 5, home versus Tulane. I think that's an extremely difficult game for Tulane. I think that's a win. Week 6, and this is a huge game, Joe. They faced Memphis last year, and they beat them quite handily. But this one is in Memphis. They're on the road at the Memphis Tigers. What are your thoughts on this game?
Memphis, I think that they just take care of business. This isn't a team I don't think that gets in there. I mean, really, dude, looking at the schedule, 2-3 losses tops. It's just, to me, like, they could run the table if they wanted to.
I don't think it's going
to be. I don't think they will because they're Houston. But
I'm going to give them a win at Memphis, although I'll tell you that's a very losable game and a revenge spot for Memphis. They're facing Temple before, so not like
what did they do to Navy? Did they like destroy Navy? I just feel like that was a bad matchup for Navy.
They beat Navy 28-20, but they were
okay. Coming it was a close off. Game. Okay, that's all right.
They were coming off of that Grambling game. This year they have a bye, and even though they're in Annapolis. I just think this is too tough for Navy. Houston,
but yeah, Navy almost caught. I just remember that specifically that happened.
Yeah, Navy off the bye. Okay, South Florida, and again, I'm telling you right now, this South Florida team is going to be significantly better than they were last year. Still, this is in Houston. It is off Navy, which makes it a little bit more difficult. I'm still giving Houston the win here. The week afterwards, they're on the road against SMU. And Rhett Lashley, and this is where I think they get caught, Joe. Okay, this SMU team gave them fits last year. They beat them by 7, but that was in Houston. this year. I think this is going to be a tough place to play. I think in Dallas, this is a win for SMU. This is the part of the schedule that I think is just going to be really tough for them. They're then home versus Temple. We gave them a win there. And they're at ECU. We gave them a win. But again, I think this is going to be a very close game. ECU is going to give them fits. And then home versus Tulsa, I'm giving the win. So I have them 10-2, okay? I look at the schedule and say, okay, well, let's be the worst possible we can be. They have UTSA, Texas Tech, Memphis, Navy, SMU, ECU. So in my opinion, all their hardest games this year are on the road. That does not bode well for a team that you want to take it over.
But they went 6-1 a year ago.
Sure, they did. Let's also take a look at who they beat on the road last year. Rice, Tulsa, Tulane, USF, Temple, and UConn. They didn't really play anyone good on the road last year. And they really did not. Like, they really didn't. And the one game they did lose was, I guess, the American game was technically in Cincinnati. So they lost that game. That was the road game. That was the one road game they played. They lost that game by 15.
Give me the over. Bring it.
You seeing it? Okay.
I'm not reading into the minutia. This schedule sucks. They don't get UCF this schedule blows.
Yeah.
This schedule blows. They should blow everybody out.
But does it actually blow? Because they get all of their toughest games on the road.
I hear you.
They get UTSA on the road, Texas Tech on the road, Memphis on the road, Navy on the road, SMU on the road, ECU on the road. Their schedule ranks 102. But again, their schedule's 102, but they're facing every single one of their hard opponents on the road.
I get it. It's college football, so you got to respect it.
Again, why don't we take a look at what this team did in 2019 on the road? I think that will probably be a
good reference point. 2019, not a good year. Or 2020.
They were 3-3 on the road in 2019, and 2021 they were 1-2. So they really, in 2020s, they were 1-2. So even under Holgorsen, even in his first years when they weren't great, they were still a good road team, which bodes well for them. I lean over. I just think that with all getting all their tough games on the road this year, it's a tough sell.
Yeah, I think their losses will be on the road.
Okay. Let's move on to Memphis, Joe Murray. What are your thoughts on Ryan Silverfield's Tigers this year?
I'm down on Memphis. I don't know if it's because when that dude Brady left, I didn't love what they've done. Like they're always a tough team, right? At home, they always play well, but they had a mediocre season. But they have a lot of veterans on their team. They lose their best receiver though, Calvin Austin. He went to the pros, I believe. But they do have to go to Houston. They get Houston and UCF at home. They don't have to do Cincinnati. They do have to go to Mississippi State, SMU, Tulane, East Carolina. So though right off the bat, that's not easy. I have them right around. So I think them, SMU, and East Carolina are going to battle it out for who's going to finish third or even fourth for that matter. But for the most part, though, I think this team can go 8-4. I just have them at 7-3.
Yeah, let's get into it here. We talked about Ryan Silverfield's third season. He has not had a ton of success. He didn't, at least during COVID, 8-3. 6-6 last year, though, some real regression. Prior to that, this Memphis program, 12-2, 8-6, 10-3. Last year, they were also 3-5 in conference, something to look at. 5-3 in conference in 2020. 7-1, 5-3, 7-1 prior to that. We talked about the win total, 7.5, over plus 120, under minus 140 at DraftKings. The recruiting did get better, though. 49th last year. Prior to that, 65th, 68th, and 80. They were 68th in the transfer portal this year, 7 commitments. They returned 7 offensive starters, 6 defensive starters. And you look at what they did in the TARP, 2.5 points gained offensively, minus 5 defensively. So definitely lost some defensive production. We'll get into that here. They return the 50th overall most production in the country, 70%. 70% of their offensive production, 56, and 70% of their defensive production, which is 52nd in the country. They're also returning quarterback Seth Hennigan, who was, I thought, okay. He was good at times last year. Inconsistent, I think, is a good way to put him. Another year in the system, he should be better. Strength of schedule this year, 90th. And you take a look at what they are, defense. They lost 6 of their top 10 tacklers. So, you know, they're probably going to allow around 30 points a game again. I think they allowed, like, what, 29 last year? They'll probably around, you know, allow around the same. I just think that this is, again, a team that, you know, they avoid Cincinnati, but I got to be honest with you, man. Like, everyone really seems to like Memphis this year, right? Everyone kind of seems to be a little bit on Memphis. I'm the opposite. I don't think this Memphis team is going to be that great. Let's kind of get into the schedule.
Well, and just real quick, they gave up 33 points a game last year, but they get Barnes from Ohio State.
Oh, they gave up 29.3 last year.
I'm sorry, but they were one of the worst. Dan, they were the, and I only know this from experience, they were the fucking worst team on defense, on third down I've ever seen them. They were in so many games and they couldn't stop anyone on third down. Looking at it right here, ranked last in the American in third down defense a year ago. They did play tight games. I think that's why people have high expectations. I don't, but people have high expectations for them this year because of their returning talent.
Yeah, again, I think they return a lot. They just don't return a ton. They were 1-4 on the road last year, which to me, you know, that usually is not a great sign. And during COVID, even though they were still good, they were 1-3 on the road. So this is now becoming a trend under Ryan Silverfield that they haven't been good on the road under Summerfield. Now, maybe they can change that this year. But so far, you know, 2-7 on the road does not bode well for your chances the year afterwards. Let's get into it. Week 1 on the road in Starkville against Mississippi State. Hey, with that defense is a loss. I believe it's a loss. Week 2, so off Mississippi State, now you're facing a triple option team in Navy, and you're on the road in Annapolis, Joe Murray. I'm going with a loss for Memphis here. I know that they dominated them last year, and I do think that, you know, that very well could be the case. But off a game in Starkville, on the road, now you get the triple option team. I just feel like this is a tall task. Back-to-back road games open the season against good opponents. I'm giving Navy the win there. I think that's a game Navy could and should win. They should be better this year.
Early in the season, too, off Mississippi State. Yep, with Arkansas State on deck.
Yeah, and again, Navy does not return a lot of players. It's going to be tough, but I just think that it could be a legitimate,
it's an easy scheme. It's a scheme that's real. You know, it's a scheme. It's a gimmick.
Exactly. All right, Week 3, home versus Arkansas State. I have that as a win. They blew them out last year. No, they struggled with them, last year. 55-50 in that game. An absolute wild one, a barn burner in Jonesboro last year. But this year it's in Memphis. I have that as a win. We also have the next week, North Texas home as a win as well. So right now we both have them, Joe Murray, at 2-2. Week 5, they continue their conference schedule, home versus Temple. Temple, I'll believe it when I see it. That's a win for me. We had the week after that, they're home versus Houston. We already gave that game to Houston, so that's a loss. The week after Houston, they're on the road against ECU, and we gave that to ECU, which I still agree with. I think that's a loss. The week after that, they're on the road at Tulane. I'm going to give them a win here, but, man, I don't love that again. Back-to-back road games coming off Houston and ECU, that's not a fun time to play Tulane, but at least they get Tulane there. The week afterwards, now this is where they get UCF off a bye. And I think that is huge for them because UCF is coming off Cincinnati. This is a win for Memphis, in my opinion. I know that that's not the best spot in the world. It's not a good spot for UCF. They got obliterated by this team last year. This is a revenge game, in my opinion. This is where I think Memphis has a big win in their program versus UCF. They also are home versus Tulsa and North Alabama the next 2 weeks. I'm giving them wins there, too, in both those games. They finish the season at SMU, Joe Murray. What are your thoughts on this game? Because this one, to me, is a very tough game to predict.
So these two teams, every year, it's like the game of the year, these two. They always come down to the final one. I think it can go either way. I think we're both a little down on Memphis. But I still have them at 7 wins.
Okay. I'm giving this one to SMU. Again, when Memphis starts winning on the road, I'll believe it. They sucked on the road last year. I think they're going to suck on the road again this year. I have Memphis this year at 7 wins. That's exactly what I have, Joe Murray. I have them at 7-5. I have losses at Mississippi State, at Navy, home versus Houston, at ECU, and at SMU. And I really truly believe we are being, you know, they're getting a good spot win versus UCF in that schedule, and they're getting a road win at Tulane there. And they're also beating Arkansas State and North Texas here. I truly believe this is a good under. I think this is a good under. Now, the only reason I'm not going to PP this is I do believe that if Seth Hennigan, who I like but don't love, if he takes his game to the next level, this Memphis team goes from a 7-win team to an 8 or 9-win team. And that's really going to be the difference is what does Seth Hennigan and this team do? They still have a lot of offensive talent. They're bringing back, I believe, 3 of 5 offensive linemen. They're replacing both the tackles, which is scary. But again, at least the interior of that offense line is going to be the strength there. So again, I want to believe that this Memphis team is going to be really good, really bad. But I think there is some upside there. And they're returning 70% of their production, so it's not like they're not returning anyone. That's what I have. I have a 7-5. That number right near the number for me.
Got it. I'm with you.
Okay, ready to move on. Let's talk about Navy.
Just say the name of the coach again of Navy, please.
Ken Niumatalolo.
There we go. How many times do you think you've said that?
A lot.
You know what? I've said it a lot. I think he's a very likable guy and a good coach, but they've been disappointing considering they've won 11 games. Now, Malcolm Perry maybe was the story, right? I mean, the guy was the second greatest player they've ever had in their life, okay?
Yep.
That dude Fajot they had last year ended up going pro. Oh, he got signed. He was really, really, really good. But, dude, I'm down, down, down on them. And it's because their quarterback is not elite. And holy crap, what is going on with their defense? And their schedule's not easy. So I have them at 4 or 5 wins this year. But let's not forget, if you really look at their body of work last year, yeah, they went 4-8, but they won their last two games of the year. They lost close defeats against SMU, East Carolina. They've had to play Cincinnati, Houston. So, like, in their defense, they were in every game, and they won the games they had to at the end of the year. You would think that's a step forward, but, dude, they do not. Their defense, I don't even know who they have on defense. They might as well bring us up.
I mean, they're not as bad as you kind of allude to. Remember, again, their system is very plug and play. Even on defense, their system is pretty much plug and play for Ken Niumatalolo's system. His 15th year in the system with Navy last year and COVID, this team has really struggled. 4-8 last year, 3-7 the year before that. He had an 11-2 team in 2019, 3-10 in 2018, 7-6 in 2017. What does that show you? It shows you big discrepancies, big bounces back and forth. This team can be bad 1 year, great the next year, bad 1 year, great the next year. 3-5 in conference last year, 3-4 in COVID, 7-1 in 2019, 2-6 in 2018, 4-4 last year. Win total, Joe Murray, 4.5, over +105, under -125 at DraftKings. The recruiting rankings, pretty stagnant, pretty normal. 102nd last year, 126, 122, 104. They did not get any transfers in this year, Joe Murray. Not a single one. Strength of schedule is absolutely fucking brutal for them this year. Again, 43rd in the country, and that's really the biggest problem because last year they were 4-8, and their schedule was absolutely fucking brutal. Remember, they only lost to Cincinnati by 7. They lost to, they lost to ECU by 3. Like this team, they lost at Houston by 8. they weren't quite as bad as people thought they and SMU by seven. They weren't quite as bad as people thought they were. They returned five offensive starters, six defensive starters. Ty Lavatai back at quarterback. I think he's better than Joe thinks he is. I don't think he's awful. Look, they only have five home games this year, and I don't think that they're probably going to get through bowl. They returned the 120th most production in the country, just 52%. 53% of their offense, which is 98th, and 51% of their defense, 117th. Look, they weren't good defensively last year. You know what I mean? They weren't good defensively, but I think this is going to be pretty much what you kind of expect defensively from them. I don't think it's going to be too much different, to be perfectly honest. Yeah,
I root for that. Dude, I love Navy. I love what I root, and they're a betting favorite of mine. Oh, dude, I think I have I don't know. Everything I've read, dude, I don't think I've read a positive. Like, that quarterback, I think, stinks. Like, when I tell you smell stinks, the fact that they have that guy at quarterback, he does nothing. He's not fast. He's not – like, he's got nothing. I feel like they should just put their best guy at quarterback.
Did you lose money on him last year?
No, because, dude, there were games they covered that I bet them. I got lucky. And dude, they were a great second half team on a bet side. So okay. As far as betting, no, I just, you know what it is? I saw Malcolm Perry do things that I remember. Like, I did that guy did. He was the fastest guy. Like, he did so many things that I just wish they had someone that could add a shred of talent.
They don't have Malcolm Perry. Malcolm Perry is one of the best players in their program history.
No, what I'm saying. They need I wish their quarterback had like some talent. He has zero talent.
I disagree with that. I think
look at his numbers. Look at his numbers from a year ago. Do it.
I know, and I think their offense is going to be better than this year.
Yeah, so they have to be better. For a starter, he was an awful quarterback.
I mean, they're a triple option team. I'm not sure what you want.
I want them to have like 500, 700. Like, I want them to run the football.
Okay. Well, week one, they open against Delaware. I'm giving them a win in that game. And week two, we've already discussed this game. I'm giving them a win against Memphis in that game. They then get a bye before they face ECU on the road. We did give that game to ECU, but I think that one is going to be a close one. They're then back-to-back with ECU and Air Force. We gave that game to Air Force, which I think is still right. So I have them starting 2-2. You agree there, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think Memphis could go either way, but go ahead.
Yep. Okay, week five, home versus Tulsa. I think this is a winnable game. They won in Tulsa last year. I think this is a winnable game here. I think they'll be favored. I'm going to give it to them. I think this is going to be a close one. But I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to say that they're winning that game. They're 3-2 so far. This is where things get real tough. On the road at SMU, that's a loss to me. They're not quite as good at SMU, and they beat SMU, or they were close last year at SMU in Annapolis, but this is on the road. I'm just not there yet. We talked about this game for Houston. I think this game is going to be very, very tough for Houston. I really do. But again, I still think that's a win for them, but it's going to be tough. After that, they do face Temple, and I'm going to give them the win here. But, man, this is a sandwich game between Houston and going on the road at Cincy. That is a fucking brutal spot on the schedule to have. We already gave that game to Cincy on the road. After Cincy, they're on a neutral. They face Notre Dame in Baltimore, a neutral site game. That's a loss. I don't like Notre Dame this year, but good golly. That's a loss. Then they're at UCF this year. After that game, that's a loss to me as well. Like, again, just two talented teams. Now, again, against UCF last year, they beat them 34-30 in Annapolis. I think on the road, different story, different team. And then December 10th, neutral site against Army, Joe Murray. What are your thoughts on this one? Now, again, Army-Navy last year, Navy won 17-13. They upset them in East Rutherford this last year. This year in Philadelphia, Joe, what are your thoughts on this one?
I got Army again. Dude, I think this team's going to win three or four games.
Yeah, I'm going to give them the win against Army. I am. I think that is going to be a winnable game against Army. I still think Army is not. I think this team is a 4 or 5 win team. They got Delaware, they got Tulsa, they got Temple. Those should be their win. Those should be their wins. Okay. I think they catch Memphis in a great spot, which is why I like them there. I think they have a chance to win. I think they have a chance to beat Houston. And I think they have a chance to go on the road and upset one of these teams. They're a triple option team. You know, and these teams are not facing them in the best spots. I think they get 5 wins. I think they do. I think they're going to go on the road. I think they're going to upset one of these teams. I think I'm not PPing it, but I'm leaning over to this Navy midshipman team. I think Niumatalolo will get them the 5 wins at least, maybe even 6. They might go bowling. But I just think they've lost too much. I'll give them 5. I'd say the lack of returners is going to hurt them. Okay.
Agreed. All
right. Okay. Let's move on to SMU, Joe Murray. What are your thoughts on this SMU Mustangs team with Rhett Lashley taking over?
Yeah, Rhett Lashley is going to – I think he's going to gear things up. Tanner Mordecai, for those who remember him, is the quarterback there. He's a lot of expectations for him this year. I believe they get an Alabama transfer as well as their running back. So their offense has always been good. It comes down to their defense and how they play on the road. It happens every year. Now, they started 7-0 last year but lost 4 of their final 5 games. Sonny Dykes ended up bouncing, as we know. Those 4 losses came by 1 score, and one of those was at Cincinnati. So they're not a pushover by any means, but the coaching change is different. Like, it's worked in the past for this program in particular. They have a couple of good quarterbacks. They get Preston Stone. If you know him, he can play a little bit of quarterback as well there. But defense, it's the biggest question mark. They have a new coordinator, Scott Simons. They gave up 31 points a game in the AAC last year. Big plays. That was their big problem. Big plays. They'll host both Cincinnati and Houston. They'll catch TCU at home as well. I have them higher than Memphis, but their offense should be good, no doubt. I think they'll put up 30 points, around 30 points a game this year, but their defense, they give up big plays. That's always been their problem.
Yeah, but Rhett Lashley comes into what I would call a good situation. SMU in a good spot here. Let's get into them. 8-4 last year, 7-3 the year before that, 10-3 the year before that, 5-7, 7-6. Sonny Dykes had this program rolling. Now, here's the interesting thing. In conference, this team still struggled at times. 4-4 last year, 4-3 the year before, 6-2 the year before that, 4-4 in 2018, 4-4 in 2017. So it feels like this team consistently is right around 500 almost every year in conference. They had their win total this year, 7 wins, over minus 105, under minus 115. And I'll tell you, their recruiting has been consistently getting better too. 86 in 2018, 70th in 19 and 20, 51 last year. This year, Joe Murray in the transfer portal with Rhett Lashley coming over from Miami. Number 14 in the transfer portal, 16 commitments this year, returning 6 offensive starters, 7 defensive starters, and quarterback Tanner Mordecai is back again. They return, as I noted, 79% of their returning production overall, which is 20th in the country. 83% of the offense is returning, 20th overall. And the defense, 75% of their defense returning, which is 36th in the country. But 79%, which is, again, 20th overall, bring back a lot of guys. And especially in the TARP, you look at the TARP this year, Joe Murray, an SMU game, 6 points in the TARP. 3 offensive, 3 defensive. They're looking mighty fine in what they gain in the portal. Look, I think that this team is going to be very, very good. The D-line apparently is going to be the strength of the team this year. They should be better than the 30-whatever points allowed per game. You know, whatever it was, 28. I don't even remember what it was last year. I'm trying to remember, look at my notes. 28.5 points per game last year. They should be even better than that. They really should be. And offensively, I think Mordecai is going to have to fend off Preston Stone. Stone is going to push him, you know, to be a good player on that team. He's going to push him. And I think that's good. I think Mordecai being pushed will make him a little bit better. Wheaton is the Cam Wheaton is the transfer over from Alabama, Joe, that you were talking about, who I think is going to be a big help to them offensively as well. So look, this SMU team I think is in a good position, and I think their win total is so low because Rhett Lashley is in his first year. We don't know what to expect.
The schedule is difficult too.
Yeah, schedule is 66 in the country, so that is the difficult part of the schedule. Let's get into it. Week one, they open the season at North Texas, Joe Murray. We gave them a win here. I concur with that statement. I have a win there. So I'm starting 1-0.
The only thing I worry about that game is North Texas running all over them. Like, it's just like a back and forth. Just all they can't stop them on defense. It just comes down to SMU winning in the final, you know, drive of the game or something. You know,
could be. SMU is a 9.5-point favorite in that game. And the total in that game is 69 right now, wow. Jumper. If you're looking to take an over on that one. Week two, they are home against Lamar, and I'm giving them the win on that one. I don't think much of a Lamar. Week three, on the road in College Park against Maryland. And I think this is a true test for them.
I don't think Maryland's great, but they're probably better at home against SMU.
I do too. And the only reason I'm giving them a loss here is because the week afterwards, Sonny Dykes and TCU come to town in a potential revenge spot. Now, Dykes left them, okay? And I think that you're talking about this is a talk about an emotional game for both teams. TCU has to go to the air raid, which is completely different. Max Duggan to me is not an air raid quarterback. He's a guy who likes to move around the pocket. He's a mobile guy. So I don't know what TCU is going to be this year, Joe, but when you move to another team and you try and bring in a brand new offensive system and completely implement your own kind of stuff there, I don't feel great about it. I'm going to say SMU is going to beat TCU. I'm sure TCU is the favorite in that game. I'm giving SMU the win. I have them starting 3-1 and beating their old friend in Dallas, whatever it is. It's in Dallas. It's in Gerald Ford Stadium. Okay. The week after that, an emotional win. They're on the road at UCF, and I think this is a loss right here. Okay. I think that this is a loss. You can't win everything. That's an emotional game there against TCU, and then they come into the conference against UCF. UCF last year, they actually SMU crushed that team 55-28. So that's a good spot for a little revenge there for themselves. They then get Navy off a bye, and I think that's huge for them, having 2 weeks to prepare for the triple option. We already gave it to SMU. I feel even better about that win now, off a bye there. However, it's a look ahead because the week afterwards, they are hosting Cincinnati. Joe Murray, we gave this win to Cincinnati, but, man, this is going to be a tough game. This is a real toss-up, and especially in Dallas, I think that's going to be a toss-up game. The week afterwards is a sandwich spot against Tulsa, and boy, do they need this win. They need this win real badly, in my opinion. I think that this is a game where you look at it and say, all right, I'm going to look at their schedule. I think you're going to lose this game. I think you're going to lose at Tulsa, and this is going to be a game they slip up. Coming off Cincy and looking into Houston, who we already have a win, and we already gave them a win against, which I think is a good spot for them. It's an absolute look-ahead spot on the road against the Tulsa team that should still be pretty decent. After Houston, they're going to South Florida in what is a classic letdown spot, and I'm going to say South Florida gets the best of them. I'm giving them a loss there. What are your thoughts on that one?
I think they lose to Houston, and I'll split them on both. And okay. And listen, it's a great spot.
Well, you think Houston's going to beat everybody this year? So
yeah, I have Houston because they don't play the two best teams in the conference.
They don't win on the road.
They went 6-1 last year.
You're right. No, I apologize. You're right. I got the reviews in Memphis. Yeah. Memphis doesn't win on the road. I apologize. Right. Yeah, Joe. They won four close games last year. Okay. They're not.
I love Houston.
Nah, you do. I think you're giving them way too much love.
No, I know, but I hope they suck then so I can hear it.
No, they're not going. I have them going 10-2. I don't think I have them sucking. I think 10-2 is fair. I just don't think I have them going 12-0.
I think it was 11-1. I think is what I have. 12-1.
Yeah, you have 11-1. I know.
Yeah,
and I think that's. I 10-2. You think I think they suck at 10-2. I think you're going a little crazy there. After USF, they're on the road. They're back to back against Tulane. I'll give them the win at Tulane.
And they give that Memphis every year, dude. That's just that one can go either way every year. Every year.
But this is home versus Memphis. We already talked about this one. We gave them that win. So right now, I have SMU down for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 wins. The win total is 7.
I have them 7-5, but I think they can go 8-4.
I think they can too. I think the big games for me, the game versus Tulsa is going to be big because they need to take one of those three. Cincy, Tulsa, Houston, they got to take one of those three games if they want to get to the win total. And they really need to win. They really need to be tough mentally and beat both Tulsa and South Florida if they want to get to those numbers. And they also have to split versus TCU and UCF. I think this is a 7-8 win team. I'm just, I think the number is pretty damn good. I'd probably make it 7, 7.5. So I think that's probably where I'd put it in regards to that. Let's move on to Temple, Joe Murray. Temple.
All right.
Temple Owls.
Let's make this one quick because they have a new coach, right? Stan Drayton takes over. They went 3-9 last year. The biggest thing that they have is Georgia quarterback transfer, DeJuan Mathis. He's going to get the keys to the ship.
He did last year. He sucked.
And just remember, they get Lafayette and UMass. Those are sure wins, in my opinion. And I hope so. I hope so, dude. But maybe they can get someone else. I see 3 or 4 wins. They're the worst. I have them as the worst team in the conference.
Interesting. Okay. Let's kind of get into it. As you mentioned, Stan Drayton, his first year in the program, obviously coming over. Jesus Christ, what the hell? From Texas, right? I believe he was the running back coach there. Which I think is an interesting hire. I'll just flat out say it. I don't like the hire. I think this is a bad hire for Temple.
I don't know who they could have got either. You know what I mean?
Like I don't know, but you got to do better than the running back coach for Texas. And I've heard some, again, he was a running backs coach from Ohio State. I think when they had Zeke Elliott, and then he went over to the Chicago Bears. And I don't think he was very good there. He was only there for a year or two or whatever. But yeah, look, I got to be honest with you, Joe. I don't love the hire. It is what it is. Let's talk about the records. Last year, 3-9, 1-7 in conference, 1-6 the year before that. Before that, 8-5, 7-6. They were 5-3, 7-1, 4-4 in the conference that during that time. So this year, the win total is 2.5 over -140, under +120. The recruiting has significantly gone down, getting worse year after year. 83rd last year, 103, 104, 117. Sorry, 83 in 2018, 103, 104 in 2019 and 20, 117 last year. Now, they did do well in the transfer portal, 52nd overall. They got 10 commitments, but I'll tell you, they still lost two offensive tarp, -4 defensive tarp. So I'm not sure. Even though they did well in the portal, I'm not sure just how well they actually did. They do return 7 offensive starters and 7 defensive starters. They return quarterback DeJuan Mathis from Georgia. I will tell you, he sucked last year. He was not very good, but maybe another year, he will help him. But it's a new system under Stan Drayton, so I don't really know. 59th in the country in overall returning production, 66%. They returned 60% of their offense, which is 82nd in the country, but 71% of their defense, which is 48th. This is a team that, again, in my opinion, is going to be one of those teams where, they have to learn a new defensive system again. So I don't know how much better they're going to be. They should be better offensively, right? They really should be. But the talent on this team, I don't think it's great. And I think this is going to be a rebuilding year again for this Temple team. And that spells trouble, in my opinion. So let's kind of get that. Let's get into the schedule here. Week 1, they're at Duke. And, wow. I think this is a loss too. I think this is a loss at Duke. Duke, I think it should be in a rebuilding year too. So we'll see, but that's a loss. Now, Lafayette football last year, Joe Murray, to give you an idea how they did, okay? They, and again, I don't know how much they lost. I haven't done my deep dive into Lafayette football. They were 3-8. They were pretty bad. They got pounded by Air Force. They did their wins were Bucknell at Georgetown and Penn. So yeah, I'm going to say Temple is better than them. So I'm going to give them a win there. Home versus Rutgers, Joe. This Rutgers team, again, you know, I felt about them last year. They got over the win total. I'm going to pass on them. I'm going to say this is a loss for Temple. I just don't think they're that good. Home versus UMass. This should be a win. But, man, this is a losable game.
Yeah, losable game. They're a better – they're a bigger school, right? I think that people will think that they win. But I have hope. I hope that – I always root for UMass.
We'll see what the spread is in that game. It should be interesting. All right. Tell me where you see the win in conference this year, Joe Murray. At UCF.
Nope.
Loss. Home versus Tulsa.
Nope.
Maybe. But I have it as a loss. At Navy. We already have that as a loss for them. Home versus South Florida. Now, again, people are going to say, well, that could be a win. I think South Florida's good, man. I think this is going to be a team on the rise. I think people are underestimating the South Florida team. I'm saying this a lot, but I'll say this. It's a winnable game. Is that fair? Reasonable, yep. Winnable game. At Houston, it's a loss. Home versus Cincinnati, it's a loss. Home versus ECU, it's a loss. I have this team going 0-8 in conference play. I have them 2 wins overall. I think they have I think they have 5 winnable games. And I don't think they'll be a favorite in any of them except for Lafayette and UMass. I think they're going to be dogs at Duke. I haven't seen the spread yet, but I'll take a look and see if we can find it here. Week 1, they are 8-point dogs on the road in Duke. Okay, they'll be a favorite against Lafayette, though. There will be a dog home versus Rutgers. They'll be a favorite against UMass. At Memphis, loss. At UCF, loss. Home versus Tulsa, winnable game. At Navy, loss. South Florida, I think that's a loss. I'm gonna. This one is probably not the brightest move in my life here, Joe. But I think there's a real chance that this team could even lose to UMass.
Yep, I think the under is the play.
Give me the under. Give me the under. PP under 2.5 wins. I just think that this team, they have one real guaranteed win, and that's Lafayette. Outside of that, there's nothing. They can lose to pretty much everyone on their schedule. I don't like it. I don't like it for Temple. I think this is going to be a bad, bad rebuilding team this year. Let's move on to Tulane. Joe Murray, what are your thoughts on Tulane and Willie Fritz's Green Wave?
So I was really high on them a year ago. And I like the kid Pratt, the quarterback that they have.
Okay.
Their biggest problem was he got sacked a ton. They gave up 32 sacks. And, dude, they gave up, like, big plays, 34 points per game, 6 yards per play. So they were, like, one of the worst in the conference last year. But think of the conference, though. They're just high-powered offenses that pass the football. I don't think they have a defense that can stop that. So I think that's, like, what's going to hold them back. But I think that Willie Fritz's team will be better this year. So I have them ahead of Memphis this year.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's a big jump.
Yep. And let me just see where I have the – hang on. I have to get my notes over here. I have them best case scenario. I think they win 6-7 games.
Okay. Let's break down Willie Fritz's Green Wave here. Last year was a brutal year for Willie Fritz. I think his job could potentially be on the line here. 2-10 last year, 1-7 in conference. Prior to that, though, bowling almost every year, 6-6, 7-6, 7-6, 5-7. The conference has been a problem. They've been 3-5, 3-5, 5-3, 3-5. So consistently under 500 in conference. Win total set at 6, as you noted. DraftKings over +110, under -130. Recruiting wise, they're a little bit all over, but they're in that area. 68th in 18, 93rd in 19, 69th in 2020, 80th last year, 65th in the transfer portal this year. 8 commitments, and the TARP rating for them this year was a 5.5 points offensively, -0.5 defensively. So they gained a lot offensively, and they're already bringing back a ton of players offensively too. We talked about the strength of schedule, Joe. You talked about that. 63rd in the country, going to be a tough schedule. They do return 9 offensive starters and 9 defensive starters, which means they should absolutely already be better than the 2-10 last year. They bring back the 29th overall most production, 75% of the production from last year. They bring back 89% of their offensive production, which is 10th in the country, and 62%, which I wrote down incorrectly here. I wrote down 88th. I think that's supposed to be 48th in the country as well. They do bring back quarterback Michael Pratt, who you and I both are very much a fan of. I think that is a good way to put it. And I think this Green Wave team is going to be better than people really talked about last year. Let's kind of dive in. Week 1 for Tulane. They are hosting UMass. Good, tough way to start for Don Brown. A nice trip all the way down to Louisiana, in New Orleans. I'm giving Tulane a win there against UMass. I think that's a tough way to start. Week 2, home versus Alcorn State. Alcorn State was better last year. They were. But still, that's a loss. Week 3, on the road at Kansas State. I think this is where they suffer their first loss of the year. Just a tough game there. Now, this one's interesting, Joe, because week 4, we have them home versus Southern Miss. We gave them a loss. I think that this could be a win. The only reason I'm not going to change it is look at that schedule. Right in between Kansas State and Houston, it's a sandwich game, which I hate betting on the team who's getting sandwiched there. It's the only reason, but I think they'll be better than Southern Miss this year. I think we should probably give them that win. But I'm not going to change it because we already gave it out. We're going to stick to it. So we have them at 2-2. On the road at Houston, we have them losing there, which I think is the right call. Home versus ECU, we have them winning. We have ECU winning, but this is a tough game.
It's winnable, but I think East Carolina is better.
Winnable game. Now on the road at US, now on the road at South Florida. And I think that South Florida is getting Tulane after Cincinnati. I am correct. I'm giving this as a win to Tulane. I think that's going to be a very tough spot for South Florida coming off that Cincy game. So that's a win. Now Tulane hosting Memphis the week afterwards. We gave Memphis the win there, but I feel like that's a winnable game as well.
So I flip flop on that one. Just for my sake, I have them higher, but let's see how it finishes.
Okay. At Tulsa, I have them beating Tulsa. They're coming up. Tulsa is the Tulane game is scheduled between SMU and Memphis. So even though I know that's on the road, I'm having them win that game. Against UCF, home versus UCF, this is a tough one for me because they're coming off Memphis and it's a back-to-back road game. It's the second of that back-to-back. I still think this is a loss here, but they end the schedule with UCF, SMU, and Cincinnati, all at home, all of them at home. I think they'll catch one of them. I just don't know who it's going to be. But 3 losses right there. Right now, Joe Murray, I have Tulane at 4-8. UMass, Alcorn State, on the road to South Florida, on the road to Tulsa. I think they are going to beat Southern Miss, so I probably should have them 5-7.
Yeah, I have 6-6, but it's not a good schedule.
The schedule does not break well for them, and I see why they're 63rd schedule in the country. Their home games are not awful.
The win total is 6 too, which is interesting. Yeah,
I lean under. I think this Tulane team is going to be better. But boy, is the schedule fucking brutal for them. Absolutely brutal. I think they get 4 or 5 wins, honestly. Now, they could easily beat Memphis at home. It's a winnable game. They could beat East Carolina at home. Winnable game. They could beat either SMU or UCF at home, too. Winnable games. I don't want to give them too much of the benefit of the doubt. We're already doing that a little bit here. I'm gonna stick with that. I'm gonna say they're 5-7. I think it's tough.
Yep, which would be under the total.
Yep, I lean under. Poor Willie Fritz, he might not have a job after this year, him and his hot wife. All right, let's move on to Tulsa and Phillip Montgomery. Joe, what do you have for this Tulsa Golden Hurricanes game?
They won four games in a row at the end of the season. They reached the postseason. But the toss-up games. Davis Brin was pretty solid last year. He's back again. I really liked what they did last year. I think going forward, but I do also feel like they have to take a step back. Their secondary is going to be rebuilt. And that's the first thing I look at in this conference. It's like, hey, how is your secondary? How do they match up? So they have to go to Wyoming and Northern Illinois to start the year, but they get Temple and Navy on the road as well. But for the most part, though, I think there are too many losses from the team. They got two tackles that went in the draft. That's huge. And their defense is starting completely over. They lost their best linebacker back-to-back years. So defensively is going to be their problem. I have them at 5 wins. What's the win total? 6.
Yes. So let's kind of get into it here. Phil Montgomery's 8th year with the AAC Tulsa Golden Hurricane, 7-6 last year, 6-3 the year before that, both years going bowling, finally turning the program around before that, 4-8, 3-9, 2-10, not good. 5-3 in conference, 6-1 the last 2 years, 2-6, 2-6, 1-7 the years before that. The win total 6, over even money, under -120 at DraftKings. The recruiting rankings, Joe, have been slipping. 96 in 2018, 106 in 2019, 117 in 2020, 127 last year. It's just not good. 88th in the transfer portal, just 6 commitments. They are bringing back 6 offensive and defensive starters. Davis Brin is the quarterback, but man, they lose a lot. Just 110th overall returning production, 56%. They return 57% of their offense, 93rd in the country, and just 55% of the defense, which is 108th in the country. Not good. I thought Davis Brin was good at times last year. But, man, they only had 4 defensive starters back last year. So people think they are going to be still pretty decent there. I think that they're a team that plays up and plays down to their schedule. Last year, week 1, they lose to UC Davis, which, by the way, you and I both had. We were on that UC Davis game. And in week 2, we were on them against Oklahoma State, in Stillwater. And they put up a competitive game in that one. So this is a team that really plays up and down to their level of competition. And I feel like that's kind of how they're going to be under Phillip Montgomery here. Just a team that kind of does that. You take a look at their TARP ratings this year, Joe, and they lost a ton. Minus 12 points in the net TARP. 7 offensive, 5 defensive, just got brutalized in the transfer portal, which is really, really not good. If you take a look at that. Now, we have Tulsa starting 2-0 with wins at Wyoming and NIU to start the year. I don't know if I believe that, because even though Wyoming is losing a ton, that home game versus NIU is going to be very difficult. I wouldn't be shocked if they go 1-1 there. That week 1 line at Wyoming, I'm very interested to see, because I don't remember what it was. But that week 1 line at Wyoming, let me see if I can find that game. It is week 1 because Wyoming plays, I think, Illinois week 0. Let's see. I don't even know if we have it. Here we go. Tulsa is a 1.5-point favorite at Wyoming. So a straight up toss up game there. We are going to give it to Tulsa and NIU because we did pick those already, but I think this one's going to be close. Week 3, home versus Jacksonville State, Joe. This Jacksonville State team, I think this is going to be a spot that you need to watch out for Tulsa here, because I think they could easily lose this game. Again, a team that lost to an FCS team last year, they could easily lose this game to Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State, I believe, gave a big scare into Florida State last year. I mean, they might have even beat them. So, you know, again, a team that's kind of scary. And it's a look-ahead spot because week four, they're on the road at Ole Miss. I think that's a loss. Now, we have Tulsa starting 3-1, Joe. Let's see where we go from here. Week five, home versus Cincy. We gave them, I believe we gave Tulsa a loss. We did. And then week six at Navy, we gave Tulsa a loss. We had Navy with a win there. So we have them starting 3-3. They're then at Temple. And we actually gave, I believe we gave this one to Tulsa. We did. So 4-3. Home versus SMU, Joe Murray. We gave this game to Tulsa. So we have them beating SMU there in a tough sandwich spot. Home versus Tulane. We have them losing to Tulane, which I think is reasonable after beating SMU. And then at Memphis, we have them losing at Memphis. The final two games of the season, home versus South Florida. I think it's fair to say that they're going to beat South Florida in that game right there, right? Coming off, it's a sandwich spot, but I still think that that's the gauntlet for them. I don't think it's a true sandwich spot with Memphis. So I have them beating South Florida and losing at Houston. I have this Tulsa team at 1-2-3. I have them at 6-6, Joe Murray, which would put them right on line with where their win total is. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I had 5-7. I think best case scenario, Dan, is they go 6 wins or 7 wins.
Yeah, I feel you on that, Joe. Whew. Yeah, I have them 6-6. They get Temple, they get South Florida, and Tulane. But they're also on the road at Ole Miss, Navy, Memphis, and Houston. Yeah, I don't know. This one's close. I lean under. I lean under here, Joe. I lean under. I think 6-6 is what I would have, but I can see them being 5-7 more than I can see them being 7-5. All right, let's move on to UCF and the Golden Knights with Gus Malzahn as the head coach there. Joe Murray, what are your thoughts on this UCF Knights team?
I think they have a nice winnable schedule. I think the loss of Dylan Gabriel will be big for them, but they'll figure it out with
the kid. Dylan Gabriel didn't play much last year.
Well, I'm talking to, I mean, who they? No, they had another kid last year too. That's a thing. I will say that about them. They've had how many different quarterbacks since Mackenzie Milton have come in and have been able to just kind of pick it up. So I don't think they'll have really any issues, but early on, I'm wondering if they will. But the kid Plumlee, he'll be fine from Ole Miss. He's been ready to go. They had a big transfer portal, Dan. I saw a couple of names. They got a couple of Auburn kids, too, with Malzahn. They do play Louisville. They do get Georgia Tech. They're both in the bounce house. But their road games are East Carolina, Memphis, and then, of course, they're going to have the big game against Houston. And who's the other team that they'll have as well? I'm losing my mind right now. It'll be Houston. But overall, though, like, I have this team as one of the top teams in the league. The win total right now, 8.5. And I'm already leaning over before we've gone into the schedule here. Again, I love Houston this year. Cincinnati is the other team. But they had some injuries, right? I mean, you look at it like they went 9-4, but it was disappointing. So okay. I think stock personally.
You think what?
I think they're stock. Like, I think okay. I don't love Gus Malzahn, and I'll say it a million times, but I think they're the threat to Cincinnati or Houston.
So I think this is my sleeper team in the AAC this year with Gus Malzahn. Second year brings in the system. They were 9-4 last year, basically half the season without Dylan Gabriel. All their losses were on the road. 6-4 in 2020, 10-3 in 2019, 12-1 in 2018, 13-0 in 2017, 5-3, 5-3, 6-2, 8-0, 8-0 in conference. The win total 8.5, over minus 130, under plus 110. The recruiting even got better under Malzahn. 62nd, 60th in 2018, 2019, 75th in 2020, but 58th last year. In the transfer portal, Joe, number 15 in the country, 14 different commitments. They return 9 offensive starters, 8 defensive starters. They bring back 4 out of 5 on the offensive line as well. They bring in John Reese Plumlee from Ole Miss I think is a fantastic addition there. They're going to have the number one running backs, the number one wide receivers, maybe the number one or number two offensive line in the, you know, in the conference as well. The strength of schedule is at 93. And to me, Joe Murray, again, the peripherals say UCF is going to be fucking good this year. Let's take a look at the TARP rating again. They gained a whopping 4.5 points in the TARP.
That might be the highest we've seen so far, right?
No, definitely not. ECU has gained 6 already.
Oh, there you go.
They gained 4.5 points in the TARP. Obviously, a big loss from Dylan Gabriel. So only 2.5 offensive, but 2 defensive as well. I think this team is going to be very, very good. They returned the 77th most offensive production. 77% of their offensive production, 33rd, and the 81% of their defensive production, which is 21st, the 19th overall returning production, 79%. They return 9 of their top 12 tacklers. They have definitely have probably the best secondary in the AAC with Sauce Gardner gone. I think that this is, I mean, really, as long as they're healthy this year, you think Houston, I think they're going to be what you think Houston is going to be. Yeah. I think this team is going to be
guess
better.
What? They don't play each other.
I know, which is great. Week 1 for UCF, they take on the home versus South Carolina State. They're going to kick the crap out of them. That's a win. Week 2, home versus Louisville. Now, this is going to be a test for them. But they get Louisville
They lost last year at Louisville, if you remember.
They did. They lost 35-42. That
remember,
game was
I love
crazy.
Malik. That was a Malik Cunningham game that I went crazy about Malik Cunningham.
And it was. Remember, they got down to like the 7-yard line in this game. They were very close to winning this game. I think this calls for a little bit of revenge. I'm giving them the dub over Louisville. They're then at Florida Atlantic, which we know Florida Atlantic is going to be a little bit down this year, 3-0, and then home versus Georgia Tech. I think Georgia Tech, in my opinion, is down this year too. I have this team starting off 4-0, Joe Murray. Their win total is 8.5. Let's dig into the conference schedule. We have them beating SMU, which I think is the right spot. SMU, you know, coming off that TCU emotional game. They didn't have a bye, which is terrible. But they're home versus Temple. That's a win. Not really a shocker there. At ECU. Now, we gave this game to ECU, but I think this is a game they could very easily get caught here. So I don't love this one, especially since it's in front of Cincinnati, and we have them beating Cincinnati. So, you know, I think that is going to be a game that could be a big loss for them. Now, at Memphis, we have them losing this game at Memphis, and I think that's fair, especially after beating ECU and Cincinnati. At Tulane, we have them beating Tulane in back-to-back roadies. Then they're home versus Navy. We have them beating Navy, which I agree with, the home. And then they're on the road at South Florida end of the year. I have this team, Joe Murray, at 11-1. I think that might be a little bit high. I think they're either a 9 or 10 win team. But really, their tough games this year are Louisville, Georgia Tech, SMU, ECU, Cincinnati, Memphis, maybe at South Florida. Seven tough games. I think they can easily go 4-3 in those games. Give it to me, baby. Over 8.5 PP. I think
I'll double it with you. I have them in Houston going 10-2.
Oh, you're PP. Okay.
Yeah, I got them both.
Double PP. There we go. Joe Murray riding with me. Over 8.5.
Oh, yeah, no. I feel the same way you feel about Houston. It'd be great if they'll probably play. Is there an American? Correct me if I'm wrong. There is an American Championship game, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So I think they meet. And I think they meet in the championship game. Now, the team that's hanging around is Cincinnati, right? So if you had to rank them 1, 2, 3, how would you do it? Between those three teams?
Well, based on record, I'll have Cincinnati and UCF ahead of Houston.
That's fine. That's fine. I want that because Houston avoids both of them. So that's why I think they're going to be ahead of them.
Actually, in conference, we have all three at the same schedule. UCF should own the tiebreaker over Cincy because they beat them.
There you go.
And
so I have Cincy out. Exactly. I have these two in the final.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I think that Houston's going to lose another game, though. I just don't know where on the schedule it's going to be. But I think Houston's going to lose another game. Okay. Let's move on to South Florida, Joe, to wrap up the AAC here.
Yeah. Why don't you talk about them? Because I'm just not as high as you on in South Florida. And trust me, like for years, South Florida, like 3-18, dude. Like, I know Jeff Scott's got the heat on him right now. And I did like the kid, Timmy McClain, right? I mean, he at least looked pretty good. And they got the kid from Baylor, right, as a transfer?
Yeah. So Jeff Scott, his third season in South Florida, a massive, massive, massive year for him. I mean, usually you have to give a guy 4 years, but who knows? You go 3-18 in your first 2 years, and I'm not sure how much longer you want to hold up with them. 2-10 last year, 1-8 in the year before in COVID under Jeff Scott, 1-7 and 0-7 in conference, so 1-14. 2019, they were 4-8, 2018, 7-6, 2017, 10-2, 2-6, 3-5, and 6-2 in conference. So, with the exception of 2017, this team has been a bad team in conference. Win total 4.5 over +110, under -130. Let's take a look at what Jeff Scott did. Now, 2018, 2019, 65th and 76th in recruiting rankings. 2020 dropped to 1/10 under Jeff Scott, but 2021 back up to 65. They're also, Joe Murray, brought in 15 commitments in the transfer portal, number 31 in the country. Now, their schedule is brutal, number 51 in the country, but they're bringing back 10 offensive starters, 9 defensive starters. They're bringing in quarterback Jerry Bohannon, who helped win the Big 12 championship last year for Baylor. They also returned the 5th most production in the country, 86%. 88% of their offensive production returning, which is 11th overall. 84% of their defensive production returning, which is 10th overall. Take a look at the TARP ratings here now. They gained 2.5 points of TARP, 3 offensive minus 1.5 defensive. They gained 3 offensive, minus 1.5 defensive, excuse me. No. I apologize again. They lost half a point of TARP, gained 2, and they gained 3 points of TARP, 3 offensive, minus a half defense. My Atlanta. I screwed that up because I kept looking at Temple. My bad. So they gained big points in the TARP ratings, which I think is good for them. They bring in a very good recruiting class, 10 offensive starters. They're bringing back 5 out of 5 offensive linemen, which is fucking huge. You should circle that. The only starter they don't bring back is their tight end, and they bring in Jason Littlejohn, who's coming in as their tight end. But they bring back everyone else on there. I think that now they are switching to a 4-2-5 defensive system, but they should be a much better defense than they were last year. They have a very tough non-conference schedule, which we'll get into. But man, they should be pretty, pretty good. They might get to bowl eligibility this year. 4.5. Let's break down the schedule. Road home game versus BYU. I think we can all call that a loss, Joe. You agree?
Agree.
Okay. Home game versus Howard. I'm going to give them a win there. Okay. Howard is not a great FCS team. On the road at Florida and on the road at Louisville. I don't think we have to put much discussion into that. Those are losses. Now, ECU starts their conference schedule. I think this is a win. They're coming off Navy. Their first game of the back-to-back. I think this is a win for UCF or USF against ECU. I think this could be a big disappointment for ECU there, okay? They're then next week on the road at Cincinnati, and I think Cincinnati takes care of them pretty easily. Not a big problem there. They then host Tulane, and we gave Tulane the win in this one. I think that's also a winnable game. They then have a bye going into Houston, and we gave Houston the win in this one, which I agree with. They're then on the road at Temple. I'm saying that they're going to beat Temple on that one.
They should beat them.
Yep. Home versus SMU. And we actually gave USF the win here, which I agree with. because that is a sandwich spot between Houston and Tulane for them and the first of back-to-back road games. And then they're on the road at Tulane. At Tulsa, we have them losing this game, which I agree with. UCF, we have them losing this game, which I agree with. So just looking at the schedule, I have them at wins at home versus Howard, home versus ECU, not at Cincinnati, excuse me. That was a loss. Home versus Howard, home versus ECU, at Temple, and home versus SMU. So I have them at 4-8, Joe. The win total is 4.5. I think they can get there. I think they can beat Tulane at home. I think they can beat Tulsa on the road. They have to win a big game. They have to either beat SMU or they have to they're going to have to win that SMU game to reach the win total, which is why I'm not going to bet it because I think there'll be dogs in that one. But I think this is a very reachable win total for them. I think they can get 5 or 6 wins here. I don't think it'll be easy. I think they're going to have to go into Tulsa, probably upset them, or beat UCF at home, which I think is going to be impossible for them, or beat Tulane. But this team is going to be better. They return a ton of production. They were 2-10 last year. They're going to make a jump. This is going to be a jump. The schedule is brutal. But I think they should be able to get 4 or 5 wins. And just the problem is win total 4.5, I'm passing. But I think this is going to be a good team. And 2 years from now, this is a team I would look the fuck out for. They could make a very big jump in 2 years.
I agree with you. I got 3 or 4 wins for them. But I'm not going to play it because you seem high on them and I'm low. So they're probably going to be right on the middle.
Okay. Let's look at the conference for them this year and the conference odds this year. Cincinnati +180, ECU 20-1, Houston +240, Memphis 12-1, Navy 80-1, SMU 10-1, Temple 200-1, Tulane 45-1, Tulsa 30-1, South Florida 55-1, UCF +360. I am going to go with UCF as my champion +360. That would be my champion of the AAC this year. Joe, I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, I like Houston, but look at the odds. UCF at 360 is the best odd, where I truly feel Cincinnati's really square. And I'm going to say this one more time. Houston does not play Cincinnati or UCF.
I know. So it's definitely a big advantage for them. I agree. UCF plays a lot of good teams. They play SMU, they play Cincinnati, they play Memphis. But they do not play Houston. Obviously, we just kind of talked about. We'll see what happens.
Give me Houston versus UCF though, and a nice, hey, let's play for a big bowl game. And not for nothing, Gus Malzahn has had success because he had Cam Newton. But like Dana Holgorsen has always had high powered offenses in teams that have fallen off. Remember those West Virginia teams he had?
I do.
I that sticks to me. So I would like UCF in that matchup if it happens. I think they'll have a better defense personally. But that matters to me. Like that coaching little matchup, Holgorsen's always been good. He's just never won big games where Malzahn has.
Yeah, I agree. I actually don't see much value in the conference in terms of looking at a long shot. I mean, maybe you look at ECU 20-1. I really don't like that though. SMU 10-1. I don't really like that either. I got to be honest with you, I think this is going to be a pretty square conference. I think you're looking at Cincy. I think you're looking at Houston. I think you're looking at UCF. I think UCF is going to be better this year. To me, that's my pick. Joe likes Houston. I think they're going to be right there real close. I think those three teams will be real close to each other. I have UCF beating Cincinnati, and because of that, I have UCF getting into the championship game. And that is my that's how I feel. I'm going with that.
All right, Dan, we're rolling along here, man. 2 a week. We're going to get into the big boys. So, man, I looked at the ACC for a second today, and, man, that portal is mighty, mighty big. Mighty big. Right? They have ranking. You know what's funny? They have rankings for the big – like these conferences, they didn't really rank like the best ones, you know. And maybe they did. But the ACC, SEC, Big Ten, they've ranked like who the best transfers are and who to watch. It's gonna be really interesting this year, which makes me think that these odds that we're talking about, the the preseason like spreads and stuff, they might be a little inflated and there's value on the underdogs.
I would agree. I just think in this conference we're probably looking a little square.
I think we're
a year or two away from this conference being overtaken by some other teams, because there are some other teams coming out with some real good talents. So I do think we're probably about a year or two away from from those teams kind of coming out and maybe being better, whether that's Tulane, whether that's Tulsa,
SMU could be something, I think. You know, like, we'll see what happens. New coach, yeah. You know.
Yeah, I definitely think it's possible. I just don't want to say that it's probable with them. I think that, again, first-year head coach is always going to be tough.
Down the line, not even, down the next couple of years, I think.
Oh, yeah. Next few years, I think they're going to be really good. I think a lot of these teams are going to be really, really good. So I think this conference is getting better. And next year, they're only going to be better next year, Joe. When they start bringing in some of these other teams, they're only going to be better. So let's see what happens there.
All right, Dan, that's it.
All right, that's it.
This weekend we'll probably start featuring some NFL conferences.
NFC East on Saturday.
Right, I've already looked into it. I'm torn a little bit, but we'll talk about it. We'll save it for Saturday. So. Thank you, everybody, and this has been another edition of the Over Under Podcast.
Who you got? Good luck, fellas.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.